What we do here is go back, 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 back.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another esteemed episode of Bare Knuckles Most Wanted. We are joined tonight by Mr. Live Worldwide, Mr. Jeff Houston. How are you tonight, sir?
Let me tell you something, guys. If I am on Bare Knuckles Most Wanted, and that's the vernacular you guys to choose for your show, I only got two things to say to you guys. Bring it on, bitches. Bring it on.
I love it. 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 Listen, Mr. Live Worldwide has been a ridiculously influential person in my life and in lives of many in the combat sports world. And listen, Jeff, you're an inspiration to me, man. And I appreciate every single thing that you do. And I want to hear your words. And what are the top three things? That's my first question. What are the top three things that you're excited about in the next maybe 3 months in the world of bare knuckle?
3 months, just 3 months. I mean, I'm excited about everything that is bare knuckle. I can't wind down to my excitement or classify it in just 3 months. It doesn't work that way. When you've been here since moment one, you are excited for every moment that you have. It doesn't matter whether it's something that we try out for one show or if it's the formula that we stick with from moment one to moment now. I am excited for everything that is bare knuckle.
Well, I love that answer, man. I love that answer. And, you just wrapped up a huge card in BKFC 20. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there were some big moments, man. There were some big moments that happened and then some big moments that could have happened, and I think that one of the biggest things that I missed was a female fight in that card. And to me, that was a huge disappointment. I understand, but I don't like it. So, what are your thoughts on the lack of female fight on that card?
It's not a question of a lack of female fight. I mean, we really had to do what was best for the athletes. We had to do what was best for the staff, and we had to do what was best for the fans. It's a very different time as of right now, and you can't hold the way things are now to the way things were. I mean, before there was no pandemic, so therefore we didn't have to worry about it. Anytime that anything changed, it was either because of the promotion, the venue, the sponsors, the, whomever. I mean, there was a reason if the show didn't go on then, it was the most obvious of reasons. This is not the most obvious of reasons. And when we're in a pandemic, I just want everybody to really take that into consideration that even though we didn't see any kind of positive tests, there was still a risk factor that a lot of people weren't willing to take at that time. And I totally understand that, but I hope that they understand that. And I believe that they do. We're definitely going to run that fight back. It just, unfortunately, wasn't at BKFC 20. So as negative as that was, you still have to look at the positive aspects of that situation.
Oh man, I could not
have. That's the optics of that.
Listen,
look bad. So
yeah, and I could not agree more. The promotion, the organization could not have made that's the only decision that they could have made, right? It is what it is, and as a fan, It's disappointing, but at the same time, like, as a business owner, I completely understand it. Like, I get it. And I love it. I love that. I think that it speaks to the caring of the organization to have made that decision, and that they're not willing to risk, the life or the health of any person, whether they be a fighter or whether they be a fan or whomever. Like you said, Jeff, I think it's a big deal, and I think it's a big distinction. And listen, I would have loved to see that fight.
Well, yeah.
Who wouldn't want to see that fight?
Right. At every event.
Audra was foaming at the mouth. It's not exactly like they were not wanting to cross through the ropes of the squared circle and toe the line. Every single one of them, both of them were just absolutely just, it was an amazing opportunity, but it doesn't mean that that amazing opportunity is gone. It's just tabled for right now, because the last thing that we want, especially at this stage, is is a breakout. We don't want any kind of a breakout happening at a live event, because you don't want to put anybody's lives at risk. I mean, and that's what we're talking about. I know that there are those out there that still like to think of this as a hoax. People still like to have this delusional mindset that this is a hoax created by this government, that government, whatever, this corporation, that corporation. But the bottom line is, people are dying. And you cannot argue that. I don't give a fuck what your political or personal agenda is. People are dying, and that's a fact. We have to do what is necessary for the greater good of our fans, our staff, and our fighters, to make sure that everybody goes in healthy and comes out as healthy as they can.
And that, I agree with that 100%. As someone who, and Jeff, I know that you, we've met. But we
yes,
don't
we have Matt.
Right. we definitely have. But what you may not know about me is that my dad actually lost his life as a victim of someone who died with COVID. I don't want to necessarily say that he died of COVID, but he died with COVID. And so that was a contributing factor.
Complication,
yeah, it's a complication of his death, and like, so this stuff is something that it's something I take really seriously. It's something that I, you know, it hits pretty close to home. So I completely understand that. But
anybody who's not taking this seriously has to get their fucking head checked. I mean, honestly, who's not take? I mean, I'm sorry. This is the deadliest pandemic of the 21st century. It's our only pandemic as of right now of the 21st century that is claiming millions of lives. And, you know, the ironic part about it is that all of these quote unquote rebels and all these advocates against the shot saying that, you know, I don't want this in me. A lot of these guys have not only gotten sick, they've died. They've died because of how they feel about a shot. If that's not the most ridiculous thing that I have ever heard of, I don't know what else is. You only get one life. This is not a game. This is not a start over situation. Fuck your feelings about the shot. Get the shot, because the more that the vaccine is spread, guess what that does, folks? It stays off the virus. That's exactly what it does. It allows the virus to die. And that's what we need. I mean, if you feel differently about it, fine. Feel differently about it. If you don't agree with me, then don't agree with me. Right. I'm not saying that I'm a huge political advocate. I'm not a political advocate about anything. But I do know that if there is something to help, I say go for it.
But isn't that the beautiful thing about being an American, is that we're all entitled to our opinion?
Great. Great. But, you know, a bad opinion could lead to your death.
It could. And again, I'm not taking a stance on this issue. And even though my own dad, who is my dad is my hero, man. That is the model that I mean, my dad was everything to me, you know? And
of course, I mean, you know, disrespect that, you know that.
Of course I understand that's not who you are, and that's not where you're going. And no. Listen, whether you agree or whether you deny that COVID is real, and whether you agree with the vaccination, or whether you don't agree with it, that's I don't think that's the point of what I'm saying.
Yes.
I think that what we're both saying is that, listen, this pandemic is a real thing, and it's had an effect on the sport. It has had an effect on the athletes. It's had an effect on
everything. Every aspect of this world, this pandemic has had an effect on, and a serious effect on it. I mean, one of the reasons that unfortunately I am not able to be working with some of my favorite international clients is because there are still quarantine measures in place in other countries. And I'd love to be over there right now doing what I do best with my friends in Russia, with my friends in South Korea, my friends in Europe. I mean, I love working with these guys, but unfortunately, until these quarantine mandates are lifted, I'm not saying that I'm stuck here because I love what I do stateside, but I also love my families overseas.
100%. So
Jeff, doesn't like going overseas.
Yeah, I mean, like you've had some pretty cool experiences, right?
I think right now I'm at a little over 90 countries and six continents. The only continent that I have not cracked the cherry on, or broken the cherry, or popped the cherry, whatever the fuck you want to call it, is Antarctica. I don't see myself doing a show there anytime soon, unless I decide to do like a PA announcement for Metallica if they want to do another bubble show.
Right, dude, that's just dumb. Like it's awesome, but it's just like good lord, dude. Like, how, like at what level? Like, what kind of level are you at? So, and I think we all know, honestly, the answer to that question, but like Jeff, like I don't even know what to ask you. I guess what I would ask you is, like, with all of you've been on six continents, 90 different countries, you have experienced more than what most of our listeners could ever dream of experiencing. And so, what are like your top three? What's like your top three experiences in the combat sports world, and as an announcer, as a personality in this world that we all live in, that we all follow? What are your top three experiences?
Well, before I go on to that, you know, you went ahead and you made mention while you were loading up the question that there are so many people that haven't had those experiences. And that's the one thing, if I could impart any knowledge to your listeners, to anybody who decides to tune into this, when this calms down and you get the opportunity to travel, you will never find any more valid life lessons and experiences than you will from that little blue book that we call a United States passport. Get that fucker stamped. You will learn more about yourself. You will learn more about life. You will learn more than any classroom, any university, anywhere could possibly impart whatever knowledge on you. You will learn more about yourself. You will find out more about yourself. And you'll probably like a lot more about yourself with constant travel. And trust me, it's so worth it. It opens up so many doors in my life. It experiences me to so many more cultures, to realize that this world is so vastly much bigger than the borders of the United States. I love the US, but I love to travel. So that's one thing, if I could impart on to your listeners, get that passport book stamped when you can.
If you ever have an opportunity to leave the country and enjoy other countries, you got to go.
It really does. Now, getting back to your question, if I could go ahead and I could think of three instances in my career that are the most memorable. Yes. The number one is definitely going to be the first BKFC. Out of everything that I've done, the first BKFC, the reason that one was the most memorable, because it really was the first. I had never found myself in my career in the position of a brand new sport. And even though it's not a brand new sport, it just has a different presentation. It has a different presentation. It has a modern presentation. And we have to pitch it to the athletic commissions, which never happened before. Right. You know, it's funny. We start off the show almost every time, and we say the first legally sanctioned bare knuckle fighting event since 1889, even though that is incorrect. Because even in 1889, it wasn't legal.
No, it wasn't.
True.
It was not legal. There were no state sanctionings. Now, the Police Gazette claimed sanction on that, and I think that that's great. But unfortunately, there was no athletic commission to sign off and say that this was legal. As a matter of fact, at the last fight in 1889 in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, quite a few people, including the fighters, were arrested.
Right. They all went to jail, right?
They did. So that's why I understand the vernacular behind that opening statement. But unfortunately, you know, historically speaking, it is incorrect because Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship was legitimately the first ever legal state sanctioned bare knuckle fighting event in U.S. history. And that's just the truth. But when I was there and all the things that were happening, the weigh-in ceremonies at BKFC 1 were the tamest I had ever been at in my life. I was expecting this to be alpha male fucking Rambo, stick a fucking Bible knife in his shirt, and it wasn't. I mean, you know, Dave Feldman, he had supposedly been getting death threats, so there were SWAT team members with canine units there.
Oh my gosh.
I kept trying to get the dogs to shut the hell up during the weigh-ins. And we were at the Cheyenne Ice and Events Center, which had a mini putt-putt course in the front. And I'm like, where the hell are we?
Oh, my God.
But when I stepped into that squared circle for the first time, that's really when it dawned upon me that this is really something special, that this is something new. And I'm like, the minute that I got into that ring, I said, this is going to be something. Because if you look at most debuts, with the exception of the UFC, which – they brought out the octagon, which was groundbreaking. I feel that the squared circle is just as groundbreaking because it's the first of its kind. It wasn't another debut event that used just another cage, another ring, another fight platform. This was custom built from the ground up, courtesy of Gary Grant Jr. And when I was in there, I said, man, this is going somewhere. And I was right. It was the most successful debut that I have ever been a part of in 18 years of announcing, by far, most memorable moment that I've ever had in my entire life. I mean, that was pretty wild. I'm going to continue on with number two, and then we'll take a break for number three and let you guys get a word in. You got to remember, it's hard for me to let you guys talk and not listen to myself.
So come on. Listen, you do your thing. Do your thing. That's what we have here.
The second most one would be the first time that I did a show with my wonderful family in Road FC in Seoul, South Korea. And the reason that that one was so memorable for me is because I remember it was back in 2015. It was a Wednesday in October. It was a Wednesday in October, and I was just sitting on the couch watching TV, minding my own business. I get a call from a South Korean number on my phone. I'm like, what the hell kind of scam is this calling me? I'm like, oh my God, our vastly wrong number. So I pick it up, and it's the English speaking representative of Road FC just happened to call me up and said, the founder of you of the Road FC has seen your tapes, and we would like to bring you down for a show this Saturday. Mind you, this is Wednesday that they're calling me. We would like to fly you to Seoul tomorrow to do a Road FC show. And I'm thinking, because I had kind of heard of Road FC, but I asked them to give me, you know, like some website information, some contact information, so that I could verify that this was true.
Sure enough, it was.
It was just out of the blue. It was just out of the damn blue. So I find myself getting onto a plane for the first time in my life, heading over to that side of the world, very, very last minute. And I get there, and it is the most welcoming I've ever felt as a professional. And it was just what an incredible experience it was. One day I'm sitting at my home out in the country in San Antonio, just outside of San Antonio. Now here I am. Here I am passing through the very, very large and very beautiful Incheon Airport in Seoul, South Korea, saying, wow, wow.
Yeah.
And I was so well received by the fighters, by the staff and such. It really was an amazing experience. And I have been to South Korea 34 times more since that first time.
Listen.
So I have a question.
Sure.
Where do you get your amazing suits?
Like I'm gonna tell you.
Are they custom made or?
I want to follow up on that after that.
There are custom alterations that I do make to them. Are they made from a specific suit maker? Yes, but unfortunately, just like a magician doesn't show his tricks and the puppeteer doesn't show his strings, I'm not going to tell you.
I hear you. Also, you have a much more access than any one of us or any of the fans. What happens backstage that would amaze people? Is there anything back there that you know that you've been involved in that people would just be thoroughly impressed by?
I think the biggest thing would just seeing how the show really works. I mean, out front, that is artificial. It's artificial. What really happens at a show happens behind the scenes, not out there. That's 100%. The end. That is the end result. The end result is you have to remember just on a BKFC card how much incredible hard work goes into this show from the moment that the ground is broken to the ring being set up to the final moment to where I'm given the cue to bring out the first fighter. It's incredible what happens backstage. Oh, and man. I mean, and it's an incredible mixture of emotions, politics, business. I mean, it's every human emotion that comes together backstage. And a lot of people don't know what truly happens backstage unless you've really been backstage or unless you're part of the company. It's really wild what goes on backstage, and that's where you really see the blood and guts and the beating heart of the actual show.
No, 100%. So Michael from Mike and Mish, it's Mike from Mike and Mish, and I know you know who those guys are.
Of course, All right, Mission Impossible or Mission right. Accomplished, whichever one they want.
Right, exactly. No, they're friends of the show, and they're
no.
They're
I was with them. Yeah, no, I was hanging out with them just the other day at 3 o'clock in the morning, slamming down IPAs.
Well, listen, and if you haven't tried it yet, you and I are going to have to link up at some point, Jeff, to experience together.
I don't swing that way, but we'll have a beer. I'm just having too much fun with you guys.
I love you, man. But we're gonna have to experience a Hibbly Hammer IPA together.
Well, that's some good stuff. I thoroughly enjoy that, and I'm not the biggest fan of IPAs. Right now, my favorite IPA is the one that I get down in Biloxi. It's called Ghost in the Machine. It is a very, very solid and very citrusy. Jules, thank you, sweetheart.
She desperately wants you to announce her name.
She does. She's a fangirl.
And well, I can definitely do that if she comes to, like, you know, right before the weigh-ins and such.
Okay.
I'm not going to sound right
in your studio.
Right. Right.
But, no, the Hillbilly Hammer IPA, I got an opportunity to really get into those at the Bare Knuckle Boxing Hall of Fame. And those were just, they're so tasty.
It's delicious. It's good stuff. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, being the guy that is, you know, you're kind of the guy behind the scenes of the fight. I'm kind of the guy that is behind the scenes with everything that happens with opportunities for fighters. So seeing those things come into fruition is kind of a neat thing for me. You know, it's a lot of fun, and it's a good beer. But so if you're in the Mid-Missouri area and you're not at the Hall of Fame and you have an opportunity to try some Hillbilly Hammer IPA, go do that. But Mike from Mike and Mish says, who is the one fighter that made Jeff think to himself, I can't believe I just got to announce that?
Michael, this is probably going to be the same answer that any – top ring announcer in the world will ever say, everyone, because I can't believe that I get to do this for a living. I can't believe that I get to be successful at doing this when I know for a fact that the announcer pool, especially for those who are full-time and successful, I'd say out of a planet approaching 7 billion people, I'd be surprised if there were 25 men and women on the planet that could say that they have a comfortable full-time living at this. And honestly, because of, you guys haven't heard, maybe you have heard some of my backstory. I mean, you know, long time ago, I had a very bad, severe cocaine addiction. And I shouldn't even be here, honestly, based on that. And ring announcing gave me purpose, gave me life. So if I look at that question in all honesty and in my heart, I have to say to myself that I can't believe I get to announce every single one because I love what I do. I truly, if there's any one man, I know that I probably sound like a broken record in comparison to all the other announcers that are at the top that love what they do, but I truly do. I love it with all my heart. I love it with all of my being. And every fiber of my soul. This is what I truly do. This is what I was born to do. And it's so weird because, you know, who becomes the best in the world at putting someone else over other than themselves? I mean, that's, you know, I mean, usually people get recognized because of what they do, not necessarily what they do for other people. But I'm doing this for the fighters because here I am sitting on my biscuit, never having to risk it. And the fighters are out there giving their all. So in answer to that question, every single one of them, I can't believe I get to announce.
And you obviously have a very unique style and pitch and voice, but are there any other announcers that have inspired you? Not your actual style or anything, but just that you kind of took notice of.
Nobody inspired my style because it's mine.
Right, exactly.
Nobody inspired my style because, I mean, did I at one point in my career emulate? No ring announcer walking the planet has not emulated at least once. That's just the way that the world works until you develop your own unique style. Right. But what really wanted me, why I wanted to develop my style is because I started seeing all of the collective styles of all of the top ring announcers in the world. I'm not saying that these are not versatile individuals. What I am saying is I wanted to be that much more versatile. I wanted not to have just one tone. I wanted several tones. I don't want to go out there and scream. And a lot of people think all I do is I just go out there. No, Jules, you gotta get over this shoe shit. I don't do shoes anymore. I mean, it's not that I bow down to Scott Burt. It's just Scott gets cheap shit. And I don't want to be associated with cheap fucking shoes. I don't want to be associated with cheap fucking shoes. So that's why I'm not even worrying about it. My specialties are my suits and my bow ties. Those are my specialties.
They are on point.
And if Scott Burt comes after me with the suits, I mean, he's doing all these shoots. He's doing yellow suits, blue suits. I mean, you know.
Now, listen, he looks like straight up like Dick Tracy.
No. He looked like the mask if he were a poor man's pimp.
Oh my God.
I even told him, I said, if Prince were still alive and saw you dressed like that, he'd make up a new song, Blueberry Beret. And the reason why it'd be Blueberry Beret.
Oh my God.
Think of the second verse in that song. The kind you find in a secondhand store.
Oh Lord.
Yeah,
that soggy tripod.
I love Scott Burt, man. He's such a cool ass dude, and
don't have to say that, Matt. You really don't have to say that because no, I know for a fact that the Police Gazette is not a sponsor on this show, so you do not have to.
He's not, but like Scott has been so good to me personally, you know.
It's all for fun, folks. I mean, we have ourselves a wonderful rivalry. I am a huge fan of Scott Burt. I don't know if I'm a fan of the new. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not a fan of the new suits. I'm gonna tell you right now, Scott.
You don't like the Dick Tracy / man in the yellow hat look.
These suits look like the kind that you wouldn't buy at Kohl's, but a guy outside with a shopping cart, you know, out behind Kohl's.
Oh Lord.
I mean, seriously, I mean, you know,
heard the challenge, people. This is a personal challenge.
There's no challenge. You actually have to have a game in order to have challenge. He has no game. He has no game.
Shots fired.
Shots fired, folks.
Shots fired. Motherfucking bazooka, bitches.
Oh, a big ass bazooka / nuclear warfare launch.
Seriously, seriously.
Mr. Love Worldwide, right here.
If he decides to encroach on my suit game, it's gonna be like that kill in Commando.
Oh Lord,
Scott, do you remember when I said that I would kill you last? I lied.
I mean, look at that suit.
That's fire, dude. I don't even have the imagination. I don't even know where I would buy a suit like that.
And he's not telling me.
We're going to keep it that way.
Even if I did, I would look ridiculous wearing it. So, I can't compete with you, nor do I want to.
Neither of us could pull that off.
No, I'm a bearded hillbilly.
I don't call it competition. I call it wannabes. Anybody, seriously.
I don't aspire to be that. I know who I am. I'm going to stay in my lane.
Hey, Oscar Wilde had one of my favorite sayings: "Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken."
Exactly. I can't do what you do, man, and I don't want to. I have no desire to do what you do because you're you and I'm me. What I want to do is lift up the sport, and I think that you and I can agree in that, and that we have a common goal is that we want Mr. Jeff Houston and myself, Mr. Matthew Kohler, we want this sport to excel beyond where it is at this moment. And I think that we're
both sport to take over. I want the sport to take over. I want this to be the go-to of combat sports on this planet. That's what I want, because if you look at it from the ground up, from every single angle, as of right now, there is no more exciting combat sport on planet Earth than bare knuckle. There's no other. You've been to a boxing match. You've been to MMA. Doesn't even matter if it's at the top level. When you come to a bare knuckle fight for the first time, you never forget it.
Yeah, 100%.
I've been a big UFC fan and MMA fan for. I don't even watch it anymore. People like, "Did you watch this fight?" I'm like, "No."
Right. Now, listen, I went to.
It's watered down. That's all. It's so diluted now because, I mean, at one point you're asking everyone to be die hard every week.
Yeah. Right?
And that's a lot. That's a lot to ask. I think that's a lot to ask. I understand that was the agenda all along because, Dana White definitely wanted the Vince McMahon business blueprint. And he's followed it to the T. He doesn't have any competition as of right now. I can't call Bellator. I can't call ONE Championship. They're not even in the same league. They're not publicly traded a publicly traded company. But the company that is the majority owner of the UFC is now. They launched not too long ago an IPO. So therefore, technically speaking, UFC practically is a corporation. But a lot of us who were following the UFC from where it was to where it is, we knew that this was inevitable, that it was going to become a corporation instead of a promotion. It hasn't been a promotion for a long time.
100%. And listen, it's just to me, I love being a part of it. And I'm honored to have somebody like you, Jeff, that's on our program. And someone that can speak to your experience, I know that it's vast and it's significant, and I appreciate you coming on, man.
Are you cutting me off already? We got a lot to talk about, baby.
go more. If you got more, let's go.
I have got more than the two of you could possibly ever imagine. I will put you and your spouses to sleep.
Well, go then. Let's speak.
Hey, I'm the guest, so keep firing shots. I'm ready for them.
I love it. And I'm a more of a, I guess you would say, recent fan to this sport. My fandom came in BKFC 1. That's when it began for me.
Of course.
Because there was this guy who was from my hometown.
18-second knockout.
Billy Hammer. And you know something? As much as I appreciated that, it was also kind of condemning as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a little bit because unfortunately, because you also have to remember, Vice TV was very interested in Bare Knuckle and they shot a lot of the happenings that took place. And of course, you guys probably saw the Vice documentary on Bare Knuckle.
Yep, of course.
So, of course, they're going to put the spotlight on Sam because Sam had the abs. He was the look. He was the face of BKFC1. If anybody was the face of BKFC1 and wanted to be the face moving forward, it was definitely Sam the Hillbilly Hammer Shoemaker. But the problem with that is that that put his expectation bar so incredibly high that I don't care who you are, it was impossible to meet it. Everybody right. thought he was going to be the next one punch machine gun. And right. honestly, would I have liked to have seen that? Yeah. And I was excited for it because that 18 seconds helped build the sport. That Absolutely. Was that's a brick in the found that 18 second knockout is a brick in the foundation of BKFC. Just like Khan and Tony Lopez are right. a major brick in right. that, in the foundation of BFC BKFC.
If it were not for that 18 second knockout, mm-hmm. The sport of bare knuckle would not we may not even be having this conversation right now.
We wouldn't.
I mean,
you may be having the conversation with another announcer,
right?
You may have a conversation right. with other fighters, other promoters, but not this particular conversation.
We in this moment would not be talking.
No way. There were certain things that happened at BKFC 1, and I am so blessed that they happened the way that they did. Otherwise, we would not have have this conversation. Otherwise, BKFC would not be as successful as it is right now. And I don't know if you guys know this, but a lot of people do, but I don't know if you guys do this, but do you know that the fight between Joey Beltran and Tony Lopez was originally not supposed to air on TV?
Really?
I do know that, as a matter of fact.
It
was supposed to be Joey Beltran against Sam Shoemaker, if I'm correct.
No. It was still Tony Lopez.
It was just going to be an off-air.
But it was a swing bout. Okay. And it was all dependent on how we moved, and very, very blessedly, again, we moved very fast and very quick. So not only was it on TV, but it was the co-main event. Can you imagine if that didn't make TV? It would have been tragic.
It would have been
absolutely tragic. But the fact that
it would have been tragic,
the pace moved at the way it did, it got pushed to the co-main event. My opinion, I think that could have been a solid main. That fight would have been a solid main event anywhere in the world.
Oh my God! Like 100% would have been a solid main event. You know,
and Tony's still going strong.
No, Tony's.
Are you kidding? You can't chop him down. You can't chop him down.
We were talking about it during the fight. How he's a Terminator. He's just a Terminator.
Tony Lopez does not age. Tony Lopez does not age. Period.
How old is he?
I think he's 47, if I'm not mistaken.
47.
I think he's 47. I mean, his fights, his overall fight.
I almost thought they said 50.
It's got to be somewhere about 140 fights by now, collectively. He was fighting every other week.
Tony Lopez is okay. serious.
That's fair. That's fair, Gary.
Yeah, Gary. No. Gary good says choice. He's a fan because of Isaac and Bobo. And
good choices. Look what Bobo did for us.
There are so many guys and girls that have been responsible for where the sport is now, and it's just crazy. I mean, to me, like some of the top names that have built this sport to where it is now are guys like Sam Shoemaker and Joey Beltran, and and then you have. You have Tony Lopez. You have Artem Lobov and Jason Knight and Pauly Malignaggi. And then you have female fighters too, like Beck Rawlings and Britton Hart and Christine Faria.
You gotta throw in Paige Van Zandt in there. And the reason that you do is. No, she has not been successful inside the squared circle, but she has gotten eyes on the product. She has gotten eyes on the product, and she fought no matter what happens, no matter what any kind of post-fight antics she has done that you may not agree with, she has still come to fight.
When she did her walk off the stage after the fight, she's got her heart in it. She puts her heart and soul into training and fighting. It's probably more disappointing than in herself.
It is because you gotta take your lumps, and part of your lumps is having that referee raise the other person's hand and not yours. And I know it hurts, and
it's hard.
And I know it hurts, and I know it's hard. I have been on the amateur side, but not the professional side. But I know what it feels like to feel that ref's shoulder movement go that way and not this way. I know what that is. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks.
It does. But, it does.
But stand your ground like a professional, even if you're not, even if you're amateur. Stand your ground. If you lost, take it.
Well,
yeah.
Isaac says,
"What's
Isaac
up, man?" Mr. Valley Flag joining us here tonight. What's up, baby?
Isaac, here's another that Isaac. You're another pioneer of this sport.
He is.
He is another
brick in the foundation of BKFC. It's amazing how many people are those bricks of the foundation of BKFC. Some of them have gone on to other things. A lot of them are still here. And the one thing that I'm really hoping that fighters who come over to BKFC, they don't look at this as a stepping stone to Bellator. They don't look at it as a stepping stone to boxing or MMA. I want people who come over here to look at this as a career move. I want them to stand the test of time with BKFC as we grow. And that's how you're going to become a superstar. Think about it like this, if you're a fighter. Do you expect fight fans to fall in love with you after only three fights and then you're gone? Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to fucking fall in love with you if you three fights and then you say, for whatever reason, I'm fucking gone. Think about the fight fans. I understand you got families. I understand you got kids. I understand you got bills to pay. And I understand that you may have tragedies in your life. But I also understand that the way that you build yourself as a fighter is by building yourself a following and staying loyal and staying true to the course. And true to the course is bare knuckle fighting as of right now. If you're, like I said, if you're looking at this as a lily pad, one lily to the next to get to where you want to go, do yourself a favor. Don't even bother. Don't even bother. We want those who are willing to stay and become superstars in their own mind within Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship.
And, right. And we're at the stage in Bare Knuckles, Bare Knuckle, that these are going to be the legends. The people that are fighting right now are going to be the legends and the Chuck Liddells,
right?
As UFC was.
Yeah, like promotion.
Earn a name.
Promotions aside, like it's about the fighters.
Hey, Mr. Kakar. Oh man, now that is one that, dude. I see championship.
I agree with you,
Ted. That was an amazing fight.
He's a bad. As Atula, you are a bad man, sir.
100% agreed. And Isatula, listen, he may not realize
this. Wrong, brother, man, big time.
Like, Isatula may not realize this because, like, after his fight, I was literally sitting across the row from him on the flight on my connecting flight. I was sitting like right there from him. I didn't even say a word to him because I felt like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was texting some of my friends and stuff. I'm like, oh,
always say, dude, always say hello.
I should have. But like,
always say hello, but just think, just like most fans, on how you say hello.
He was so busy.
I'm
just like, I don't want to interrupt. And I should have 100%.
You should have, but very respectfully, because fighters will respect that.
Right. And I'm not a shy guy. Like, I came up to you, right? We met at an airport. Did we not? Like, I'm like, hey, this is who I like. And that's normally what I am. I'm like, man, like, anyway.
But if you get an opportunity to sit down and listen to his story, it's
incredible.
It's beyond incredible. It is. I was on the verge of tears when he was sitting in with myself, Sean Wheelock, and Chris Lytle at the fighter meeting. And he was telling us his incredible story of adversity, through the prison camps.
It's crazy.
It's just incredible.
If you don't know it.
He seems, and he just seems to me like he is a fighter who is absolutely fighting for the right reasons. If there's any one fighter if there's any fighters that I believe that fight for the right reasons, it's people like Ezatula, because they're not only they're not just fighting for the paycheck. He is fighting for his continued freedom and lifestyle within the United States. And I love that. I love it.
It's so much more. It's so much more than your average fighter. And Gary Lange, he says, I smack his ass and I'm not even a YouTuber. I don't know if you're talking, if you, if, listen, Gary, if you're talking about Isatula, like, listen, 100% my money is on Mr. Kakar in that situation, because you're probably going to get an ass whooping. But
they're going to have to pick you up with a spatula.
Like, that dude's going to dominate you, man. Like, you don't even know.
Like I said, dominate. They're going to say, what happened to Gary? Well, some of them's here and some of them's here. And, you know, he does a little bit more over there. So
should we try to take a call in from the audience?
Right. Exactly.
That's 100% pull on one end. Come on now.
I mean, we do have a feature on this show. And we announced it earlier. If we have anyone who wants to call in and talk to Mr. Worldwide, call in and ask. So Matthew, you say only hi to girls. That's what did he say?
Gary.
Oh my gosh, Isatula. I did say, listen, Isatula, I did say hi to you. And you're right. I was talking to a girl. I am a married man, but I was talking to a girl on the flight. You're correct. But here's the thing.
Talking about Valley.
What are you doing, Matthew? You just incriminated yourself. You're on camera, buddy.
My wife knows about this, but
okay.
She was a young girl, and I'm a guy in my mid 30s. She was a young girl in her early 20s, and this was her first flight, and she was freaking out. And she asked me. I felt like she was my child, like a little sister. Like, she asked me to hold her hand during takeoff, because she was terrified. And I said, listen, young lady, I'm a married man, but I'll let you hold my hand. Like, yeah, go ahead. Let's hold hands. Like, during this flight.
I'll help you through this.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like I was being a nice guy. And so Isatula, if you saw that, it's very possible you could have misinterpreted that situation from a third party, but I definitely did, Isatula. I did say hi to you at the fights, and we connected. We actually took a picture together. So the reason I chose to not approach you on the flight is because you were on a live. You were live. You were talking to some folks, some of your own folks from your own country. And I recognize that, and I did not want to interrupt.
Quetta. He's from Quetta, Pakistan.
Right.
He was talking to a bunch of folks from over there, and you know, I could just imagine the city of Quetta oh my, they had to have been just so incredibly proud of him. They really had to.
Well, I know for a fact that they were, because my family took on a foreign exchange student from Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And she was so close with my parents, and then when my dad passed away, she reached out, and she's still so close, but like, I know, I'm very familiar with the, national pride, you know, that comes, from Pakistan, and I know that's a huge thing. And she's
fighting pride on top of that.
Pride, not just national pride, but pride in general. But but no, she's very proud of her country, and I'm proud to call her a friend. And Isatula, DM me, like, maybe I can introduce the two of you, and y'all can, because I think you have some similar views on some things. And I can't wait to hug you either, Mr. Kakar. I appreciate that.
All right, guys, we got to talk about one thing. I'm not trying to hijack, Bare Knuckles Most Wanted. I'm certainly not trying to, but we definitely have got to talk post-show BKFC 20. We got to talk some BKFC 20.
Okay. All right. Let's do it. So yep, what, yep, yep. What's your, so BKFC 20, my, one of my biggest things, I've got Bobo O'Bannon.
Congratulations, Bobo.
I stinking love you, Bobo, man. Like, Bobo's my guy. He is my friend. Brittany is my friend. And he did a little dance in the ring. and I thought that was super cool. So, what were your thoughts? You had a better view than any of us sitting here.
Best seat in the house, you know, because, like I said before, one of my favorite sayings, sitting on my biscuit, never having to risk it. but Bobo is a very entertaining fighter, but he is probably one of the most humble human beings I have ever met.
100%.
The guy is not into this for fame, for adulation. You know, he's in there. He wants to get his hands dirty. He wants to get in there and give a good fight and make sure that the fight fans got their money's worth. And I always feel that he does that. Win, lose, or draw, Bobo is one of those guys who always comes ready. Whether it's a win, whether it's a lose, it doesn't matter. You know it's going to be an entertaining heavyweight fight when Bobo O'Bannon is involved in it. And just what's going on with his life as of right now, this guy, you know, I mean, he has got a ton of bricks. He has got, you know, a masonry on his shoulders of what's happening. And the fact that he's able to persevere throughout that and still get the victory is just incredible. So, of course, hats off to the Bible Belt Brawler. Bobo, man, he's an incredible heavyweight. I foresee championship gold somewhere in his future. But I'm definitely going to say that there's another heavyweight that night that really impressed me. That definitely is going to, this guy, it's just a matter of time before he is our heavyweight champion, and that's Dylan Kleckler.
Yeah,
Dylan, I agree with that. Before we move on, though, what do you think about Bobo's opponent maybe fighting Zach?
You know what? You know what? Lewis Rumsey fought on BKFC one. So he's an OG to bare knuckle. Lewis is the kind of versatile fighter that he could pretty much fight anybody in at the heavyweight division. I could put him in against Zach. I could put him literally in against anyone in the heavyweight division. And I think that what Lewis is, I mean, I definitely want to see him get, I definitely want to see him start getting some wins under his belt, but there are going to be certain heavyweights, just like in any weight class, that are end up going to be, they're going to be like the gatekeepers. They're going to say, you know, you want to get to the next level, you got to get by me.
It's like a Travis Thompson, essentially, you know, like Travis tough, is a
tough, he's tougher than shoe leather, man. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's tough as nails, and he is the guy.
Amen, Mr. Carr.
If you want to get to the championship level, that you got to go through Travis at 135.
No one. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So now Travis is a very tough guy. And yeah. So Dylan is very tough. I think that he displayed his skills and things, and I think we all knew who Dylan was, but and the outcome was unfortunate.
Nobody ever wants to see that. Nobody ever wants to see. I mean, the one thing as a ring announcer that I want to see each and every time is I want to see every single fighter. Doesn't matter what the outcome is. I want to see them walk out on their own volition. Yes. You know, that's very important. Now, we didn't focus in on what was happening. And I know that there were people that wanted to say, put the camera on them. I'm like, our staff, we are too respectful to the point that we're not there to show that side of it.
Right.
That's not what's important. What's important is that we get this individual to a medical facility so that he can receive the care that he needs to get better. Hey, Mr. Loco Soto.
Love Tony.
That was the most important thing. There has been some improvement to Justin Thornton. There has been some improvement to his condition.
Prayers out to him.
But you also have to think about there's an important thing because there's going to be so many people who are going to put a spin on this fight and they're going to say, hey, wait a minute, weren't you guys just saying that it's not dangerous? And now somebody's getting gurneyed out of the ring. Think about how long it took us for that to happen. When people first saw bare knuckle, a lot of people were probably under the impression that that scenario would unfold a lot sooner than it did, but it didn't. It took 21, actually more than 21 shows, because of course we had the Toe the Line fight series that were included on the Bare Knuckle TV app and, you know, everything else. So it took quite a while before we had a incident like this. And it's not even, it's not even, I don't believe that it's going to be a life-threatening incident. I think it's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle, but, you know, I mean, Justin's a tough guy. Justin's a tough guy and he's a fighter. And I truly believe that his situation will improve. I'm not going to get into the specifics of his condition and such because it's not for me to say. That's for BKFC to say. BKFC, his manager, whomever wants to release that information about his medical condition, it's for them to say, not me.
Right. So Dylan Kleckner, though, he had a dominant victory, obviously. And I think that goes well. So who in your mind is who's next for Dylan Kleckler?
You know what? Dylan is one of those guys who's going to be a little hard to match for the next fight. It's going to happen. But I don't know. You know, I would like to see the winner of the Shoemaker and Burns fight possibly go up against
him. I like that.
I already knew that you were going to say that. All
right. If I'm looking at the logical closure point to a solution for Dylan Kleckler, that to me would make the most sense.
So he's
going to
be fighting Sam, I guess.
Yeah, he'll either fight Sam because Sam's going to dominate that fight. But
we don't know that. I mean, I know that Sam's your boy.
Yeah, we got to say.
But I also know that Josh did not like the way the outcome of his last fight went down.
Oh, right. I know.
As a matter of fact, so when that happens, there's that extra little push that comes in training. And I believe that little extra push, and you also have to remember, even though that Sam is becoming now a bare knuckle veteran, Josh is that much more of a bare knuckle veteran as of right now. If you look at it from the numbers,
right.
that's just the way that it is. However, it's a tough fight either way. It's a tough fight either way because Sam is coming off of a loss of Joey Beltran and Josh is coming off of a loss in Alabama. So yeah. I mean, both of them have something to prove, and that's a dangerous fight when you have two fighters that are in the same scenario that 100%. Have something to
prove. Yeah, and some of our viewers are asking the question, like, should Kleckler run it back with Tate before facing the winner of Burns and Shoemaker?
No, I don't think so. I think that he's earned the opportunity to do that. And if we have a fight that is going to be a definite before he gets an opportunity at the strap, I think he should definitely run it back with Tate before. I think Tate should be the deciding factor before the strap.
Elvin, congratulations, man.
There's Mr. El Bandido, victorious over a tough newcomer.
Yeah, real tough.
Right.
Tough newcomer, man.
Yeah, he's going to be a contender in the game for sure.
I think
100%.
So.
But, I mean, you know,
debuting against Elvin and keeping up.
Yeah, no, his opponent was solid. Like, and I think that we talked about that in our little watch party. It was that, you know, if you go all five rounds with Elvin Brito in your debut, my goodness, like, I'm sorry, I don't care who you are, you have a future in this sport.
Well, Elvin, you know? The one thing that I liked about this particular fight is as Elvin progresses in his bare knuckle career, he starts to show us how extremely versatile a fighter he really is.
Oh, I mean,
he's all about putting his foot on the gas, but now he's starting to configure new angles, new dimensions, right? He's exposing things that a lot of other fighters aren't necessarily exposing as a bare knuckle fighter. And I find that very interesting. I'm not exposing in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Not exposing in a bad way, but exposing in a way that other fighters may look at his tape and they're like wondering, gee, why haven't I thought of that?
Right.
And if you want,
he's doing right now.
If you want to learn how to fight bare knuckle at high level, go watch some tape of Elvin Brito.
Like, yeah, or join his camp in
right.
Certified badass in the ring. Biggest fucking sweetheart outside of the ring.
One of my favorite fighters in and out of the ring.
100%. And
did you see the conclusion of round one, looking at that camera, giving that little wink.
Yeah, exactly. I see that.
Very good No, very good camera and ring awareness. And that's the kind of stuff that people like David Feldman and people like our producers. They love to see that stuff because that's the charisma coming through.
Yes.
Yeah, but who does that? Who goes through a single round of a bare knuckle fight and then winks at the camera?
And we're talking a bare knuckle fight.
To me, that's another level.
A bare knuckle fight.
That's another level.
Gary, what's up with you?
Right, that's another level of badass, though.
Yeah, we got going on with you and Isaac Valley Flag, man. I mean,
that's bromance brewing.
Yeah. You and him could have a bad bromance.
And we could get somebody to write a song about it. I promise you that. You know.
Well, I don't think Lady Gaga's up for it just yet, but give it time.
I don't know Lady Gaga personally, but I feel like I could get to know her, you know, and I could make that connection if I really needed to.
She's all about devastation and differences. She'd love bare knuckle fighting.
Yeah, probably.
She'd love bare knuckle fighting.
So
Bubba wants some of this next.
Bubba, okay. You don't want that trouble. You don't want that problem. I'm just kidding. Bubba is significant.
I'll fan it out.
I'll have to call in some help from the Hibbly Hammer on that one. Like, I don't want anything to do with Bubba Bannon. I'm just telling you right now. Like, I'm good. I'm good, Bubba. I'm good.
These guys will knock you back to second grade, and then you'll wake up and you'll say to yourself, shit, I did fail finger painting, didn't I? Fuck.
I want to see Bobo go down to Puerto Rico and hang out with Elvin and learn some movement.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people have been going down to Manalbo, and they've been going to Brito's Jungle Camp, and a lot of them have come out better because of it. A lot of them have come out better because of it because they're learning so much different. I will curl up in the fetal position. In the fecal position. Curling up in the fecal position, Mr. Bobo Bannon, you're not going to smell too good.
100%.
You're being in the fetal position there, good sir. I love you, Bobo, but please, for the love of God, when you're on with these guys. No, enable spell check.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, literally.
Listen, I do have faith in my hands.
I want to change gears for just one second, if we may, guys. I love Bobo. I'm glad Bobo's on with us. But we also need to talk about what happened and what I think, honestly, historically significant was probably one of the most historically significant things that has ever happened in the history of Bear.
The jig.
Come on, Bobo. You're interrupting my train of thought, brother.
Right, you stop it. You know you're not scared of my little ass.
He's going to keep it up. No, in my opinion, if you look at it from a bare knuckle fight fan perspective, it was one of the most significant things that's ever happened, and that was the fact that Johnny Bedford got it back. Johnny Bedford is now a two-time BKFC World Bantamweight Champion and is now the proud owner of the Police Gazette Diamond 135-pound world championship. Now, I did see a lot of difference. I saw a lot of difference in Reggie's game this time. I absolutely did. But what I saw was a massive improvement on Johnny's end as well. I saw a completely different fighter that was pushing the gas that much more. And, you know, it's kind of funny, Mr. Matt, it's a different situation. You know, it's kind of like the Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture thing. You know, Randy had his problem with one person. And I just think that Reggie has his problem, unfortunately, with, you know, Johnny Bedford. Plus, Johnny Bedford's a very tough competitor in that weight class at 5'10". He's a tall bantamweight.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I was like, holy shit.
He's so much bigger. He's so much, like, the size advantage is crazy. You know, so like John Bedford versus anyone else.
No, they were Elvin. They both were stronger. I'm not saying that he wasn't stronger.
Bye, Gary.
Not at all. No, I think that they both showed massive improvement from BKFC 6. 100%.
100%. And I love Reggie, and I love
Every day. His father is my surrogate father. My surrogate father, man. He's my father.
But Johnny Bedford is he's a very large man for the 135 division. Mm-hmm. And he just, to Johnny's credit, he showed up and he showed out, you know, like he showed that he's the dominant man in that division, aside from maybe Dak Gwynn, you know.
That's gonna happen. If they decide to run that back, that's going to have a very different
gosh.
100%.
Johnny was better with Reggie the other night. Much better than he was with Matt. Much
100%. No question.
Like he did at BKFC 20 with Dat, Dat would not have had two belts. He would not have been presented the belts by Shaquille O'Neal standing right behind us. That would not have happened. He'd still be the champ. But Johnny did also mention in his post-fight interview that now the logical fight to make, especially is him and Dat again, to run it back and say, you know something, Dat, I know that you're going after the 145, 155, and we know that the end result for you is going to be Luis Palomino for the 155 strap. I get that. But the way that you left at the beginning and the way that you came back and such, dude, I'm just looking at it from a logical closure point. I always need a logical closure point as a fan myself. That's the fight to make to run that back, to see that how it is. But I don't know if Dat wants to compete at 135 anymore.
I don't think he does. I really don't think he does. And here's the other thing.
Howie, good choice.
I like that. I like that. I just want to say that.
Ready for Gian, because he only had one. He only had a fight with us.
My initial reaction to Bobo calling me out was like, no, I don't want anything to do with that. But you know what, Bobo? All right, man. This is not the first time you've called me out. You, Bobo O'Bannon, you have goaded me. You've insulted me on a personal level. Let's go.
I wouldn't buy that for a dollar. That's still kind of promo.
Bobo has talked.
I'm willing to
fight you, Bobo. If you want to go, let's go, Bobo. I'm tired of it. That's enough. You've insulted my family. You've insulted me personally. And listen, Kohler versus O'Bannon, BKFC 22. Let's go.
I don't believe it. Do you know how bad I want to turn this on? But after that, I don't want to turn it on because I'm not getting hot from it. Not happening.
These hands are lethal. I'm just telling you.
Shit.
Bobo doesn't want anything like that. He said he don't even fight anymore. See, Bobo already gave up.
How about the hero fight?
Oh man, what's that now?
That was a good
fight. The hero fight.
I love the hero.
Oh, how,
and I love Jay Fish too.
How can you fucking not love Quentin?
Jay,
how the fuck can you not love? You got something wrong with you if you are not a Quentin Henry fan, man. This guy gets it. This guy gets what a bare knuckle fighter should look like in the 21st century.
Yep. He's a great guy. And
come on, Bobo, you ain't backing out of shit, dude.
He looks like a hero.
Hey, come on. Real men wear pink, just like you do in the ring. Come on.
Fuck, bring it on, Bobo. What are you doing? You don't want none of this, Bobo.
And now I'm a collector. So what you're saying, Bobo, is now you want to fight older men. So what you're saying is
older women.
Or, I don't think it's going to be older men. I think that he's just going to start going to like old folks' homes and like just knocking people out.
I really think he's just scared of me. He might just be scared of me because I am at the end of the day, I'm an intimidating figure. So, Bobo, I don't want anything to do with.
Bobo is the kind of guy who will make the Grim Reaper knock his bony knees together. I don't even think Bobo. Death is afraid of Bobo.
Right. Listen, yeah. I'll fight Bobo. I will fight Bobo, but I will not fight his wife. I'm scared of her. I'm scared of Britain. So.
Are you kidding?
But
Bobo was born and the doctor slapped him on the ass. He put a rear naked choke on the doctor.
He definitely did. He probably punched him straight and broke the doctor's nose too. Like, Bobo, I love you. All of our listeners and everybody that's in the chat, Alvin, we love you. Howie Atherton, we love you. Brittany Carino, everybody, like, listen, all of these insiders that are in the chat, Tony Locosoto, we love you guys, man. You guys are such an essential part of everything that we do.
They're family.
100%. We wouldn't be here without you guys. And, you know, without all you guys. And I appreciate y'all paying attention to some of the shenanigans that we do. But, you know, Jeff, it is an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show, sir. You elevate everything that we do, and we appreciate you.
We'd like to have you on anytime.
For even just coming on here. So he said, Bobo says, we signed a fight with Chuck Norris one time, but he backed out. Yeah, man, Jeff, anytime, man, anytime. It's an honor to have you on. And for that matter, Bobo, even if your country ass wants to come on here, even though I could beat you up, like, come on.
I'm still not buying it. I'm seriously, man.
And Elvin, we would love to have you on here.
I'm not buying it, man. You need a 101 on Smack Talk, man, because I'm going to tell you as of right now, man, I mean, if I was across and I was listening to this kind of Smack Talk, the only thing that you would be the answer to insomnia.
You're probably right. Listen, I know right. I'm going to get my ass whooped, but I love it. But I do have a tough ass dude in my corner, and that's this Sam Shoemaker guy. So, I got some backup. So, right? No, it's definitely not you, Matt.
I'll pay Sam a bonus to take care of my light work. Thanks.
There you go. Well, hey guys, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. It's been again an honor and a pleasure. You're so awesome, and Mr. Live Worldwide. You know this guy's a legend. And of course, my partner, Matt, we love you, and everybody that's in the chat. Yeah, anybody that's in the chat hanging out with us, we want to thank you for joining us. And I think that's about all we got for you guys tonight. Shout out to our sponsor, to our sponsors, Drinker Nutrition and Dope Champ. Go check. Yeah, for your Delta 8 needs, go check out Dope Champ. And for your nutrition and workout needs, if you want to get jacked, go check out some Drinker Nutrition. But thank you, everybody, for watching and paying attention and putting up with us and live worldwide. Thank you for just giving us your time because you're in.
Awesome, guys. Bare knuckle of most wanted, man.
And we're out.
Good stuff tonight.
Thanks, man.
What we do here is go back.